John Batchelor with my colleagues, Bradley Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, and our colleague Ryan Brobst, publishing a report about the Arsenal of Democracy 2025, where it's adequate, where it's weak, and what our allies need in the face of threats. That would be Taiwan, that would be Israel, that would be Ukraine right now, but we can easily see other allies coming into this conversation. Gentlemen, you make 18 recommendations. And Ryan, I start with you. Speed and scale over risk mitigation. Translate that. What does that mean, Ryan?
Yeah, so as there's been a lot of downward pressure on the defense budget over time, it's fallen as a percent of GDP. Congress has pressed the Pentagon to spend its money more efficiently. And the easiest way I could explain this is using the example of express shipping from Amazon. From a budget perspective, it's not very efficient to order, get express shipping on anything. But that's not necessarily the whole story. Sometimes it's very important to get things quickly, such as if you're at war or soon to be at war. And we need to get back to that mindset that getting things when they're needed matters a lot more than trying to save, you know, an extra 1 or 2% of the budget.
Brad, there seems to be a lot of civil service here. For example, a time-bound State Department review process or the foreign military sales contracting process. Is Washington part of the challenge, Brad?
Yes, but these are patriotic, hardworking Americans responding to incentives and disincentives. And what we're saying is that we got some of the priorities wrong, as Ryan just said. This is a moment for prioritizing speed and scale. I'm thinking of George Marshall's famous quote, when for 20 years we had the time and not the money, and then I had the money, not the time. We spend the money up front, and we can maybe prevent the war rather than having to fight it at greater cost. And so it's getting our assumptions right, but time-bound process of the State Department. We've got 18 recommendations here. We need about an hour for each. But on this one, what happens is you'll get a request from an ally or partner for a weapon system. A large portion of those will be approved quickly by the State Department, depending on the administration and the partner. But some of them will just linger for indefinitely, interminably, because you have two or three bureaus disagreeing. The political military bureau might say yes. The bureau focused on human rights or other issues might say no. And then no one is designated to adjudicate that difference and make a decision, and it just sits there. So we're proposing a process by which you have a time-bound process for particular allies and partners to make a decision. That's one example. Another example is the foreign military sales process, which is where, second only to the insufficient production capacity of our defense industrial base, the second leading problem and source of delay here is the time it takes the Pentagon to get things on contract. Because in the foreign military sales system, the Pentagon is actually the one negotiating on behalf of a foreign partner with industry. And that's where we see a lot of the delay for a number of reasons, including they do something called bundling, where they try to bundle all these different requests from different countries together. It's not evil. They're trying to get economy of scale and save money. But go back to Ryan's comment. Do you really want to keep Taiwan waiting because you want to lower the unit cost by 2% because you want to add Morocco a year later? That's an example, you know, fake example, but that's the point. And then lastly, I mean, we could go on forever. One more is FMS. We have an FMS only list that says if it's this kind of system, it has to go via foreign military sales, as opposed to direct commercial sale, where the foreign government negotiates directly with the American business. The advantage in many cases of doing a DCS versus an FMS is it cuts out that time-consuming Pentagon contracting process and allows the country to go directly to Boeing or Lockheed or Raytheon or whatever. And you can get the weapons delivered in 6 to 12 months instead of 4 to 5 years in some cases. And when you're talking about an ongoing war, a prospective war, time is everything.
Ryan, my information from reporting on Ukraine is that it's all drones all the time, down to the individual infantryman and up to command and control looking in on a battlefield. Is that part of the change in defense industrial base now? Are we building a million drones?
U.S. industry is not currently building a million drones a year, but certainly ramping up to get that effort. It's also worth noting about the battlefield in the Ukraine that while drones are causing a huge amount of the casualties, the reason the war has evolved in that manner is because many of the other weapon systems still play a role. The reason you know, the Russians are unable to mass large amounts of forces to push towards the front line is because whenever they group up, they get struck by HIMARS. And that's kind of one example where even if a larger system isn't causing the most casualties, it's still having a significant impact on the battlefield. So we can't divest from all these other capabilities.
Brad, you're a veteran, military veteran, and you've thought about, you've taught at West Point, you've talked about this for years. What surprised you in your analysis of the defense industrial base? We have about a minute.
You know, John, we really tried to approach this in a rigorous manner and come in not looking for some preconceived conclusion. We had a hypothesis and we tested it, and we came out with a nuanced conclusion. Our nuanced conclusion is, as we've said, is you can't blame delays to Taiwan or Israel and Ukraine in these 25 instances. But we've got major problems with the defense industrial base. And really what we're doing here is saying, continue to support Ukraine, continue to support Israel, but we got big problems in the defense industrial base, and we better spend money now or we're going to expend lives unnecessarily later. That's what we're saying.
I love you for the George Marshall quote, Brad.
I know. I'm playing to my audience, John. I know.
Bradley Bowman and Ryan Brooks for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.